All right, I'm reading from Esther chapter 9, and then I'll read chapter 10 as well. Verse 18. The Jews in Susa, however, had assembled on the 13th and 14th, and then on the 15th they rested and made it a day of feasting and joy. That is why rural Jews, those living in villages, observe the 14th of the month of Adar as a day of joy and feasting, a day for giving presents to each other. Mordecai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews throughout the provinces of King Xerxes, near and far, to have them celebrate annually the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar, as the time when the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month when their sorrow was turned into joy and their mourning into a day of celebration. He wrote them to observe the days as days of feasting and joy and giving presents of food to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews agreed to continue the celebration they had begun, doing what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast the pure, that is, the lot, for their ruin and destruction. But when the plot came to the king's attention, he issued written orders that the evil scheme Haman had devised against the Jews should come back onto his own head, and that he and his sons should be impaled on poles. Therefore, these days were called Purim, from the word pure, because of everything written in this letter, and because of what had happened, and of what they had seen and what had happened to them, the Jews took it on themselves to establish the custom that they and their descendants and all who joined them should, without fail, observe these 2 days every year in the way prescribed and at the time appointed. These days should be remembered and observed in every generation, by every family, and in every province and in every city. And these days of Purim should never fail to be celebrated by the Jews, nor should the memory of these days die out among their descendants. So Queen Esther, daughter of Abihail, along with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm this second letter concerning Purim. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews in the 127 provinces of Xerxes' kingdom, words of goodwill and assurance, to establish these days of Purim at their designated times, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had decreed for them, and as they had established for themselves and their descendants in regard to their times of fasting and lamentation. Esther's decree confirmed these regulations about Purim, and it was written down in the records. King Xerxes imposed tribute throughout the empire to its distant shores. All his acts of power and might, together with a full account of the greatness of Mordecai, whom the king had promoted, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Media and Persia? Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Xerxes, preeminent among the Jews, and held in high esteem by his many fellow Jews, because he worked for the good of his people and spoke up for the welfare of all the Jews.
This past week, our family had some great times of celebration. Our daughter, Kirsten, is pregnant, and they had a baby shower last week. Some of you were able to attend, and as I mentioned, it's not only their first child, but our first grandchild, so you'll probably be seeing my wife talk about that a lot. I'll try not to talk about it because she'll do enough for both of us. We're excited for that. And then last Sunday, we also were able to celebrate our son, our one and only son, his 21st birthday, and it was great. Our family, some friends came together, and we were able to celebrate. We had some ribs, shrimp, cheesecake, among other things, and it was just a great time to celebrate. You know, in 2 weeks, we've been talking about, what's in 2 weeks? Anybody remember? Oh, okay, some of you are paying attention. Some of you remember. Easter, right? The highlight, the pinnacle of our faith. We get to celebrate Easter in 2 weeks to come and celebrate the resurrection of Christ as a church. And I hope that, you know, if you're not with friends and family at another church, I hope that you're here and that you invite friends. But then after church, we celebrate the resurrection. Many of us, maybe all of us, hopefully, will be able to go with family or friends. You're going to go and you're going to have time of food, time of fellowship, time of hopefully joy and celebration. And I hope that God will be in the midst of your celebration. How many, just curious, how many are ham families? You have ham, the traditional ham. Okay, so about half of us, right? And I don't know what the other tradition is. I don't know. Is there another tradition? Let's speak out. What else? Duck. There you go. Okay. So it's a great time. You know, it's interesting. The Bible talks a lot about celebration. Matter of fact, many of our holidays that we celebrate as a country are based on the Bible. Many of them are acknowledging God in our holidays of who He is or what He has done. And we are to celebrate. And, you know, as we finish up Esther, really this whole chapter here, and even really the short little chapter of chapter 10, is saying it's time to celebrate. It's time to remember and to celebrate. We celebrate things ultimately, why? To remember them, right? To remember them. Holidays are meant for remembering. When we celebrate, we're called to remember especially all that God has done for us. And that's what the Jews were doing. That's what Esther and Mordecai wanted the Jews to do. They want to set up not just for that year, but for years to come, a holiday, some dates of remembering all that God had done for them, to never forget what God had done for the Jews in Persia. The Jewish people were to remember God's deliverance, God's goodness to them. You know, for those of you who have been with us kind of through this journey, and even if today is really your first day, you kind of heard, in a sense, the real shortened version of Esther that we just read. And at the beginning, really the first half, almost two-thirds of Esther, is pretty dark and dismal for the Jewish people. Esther and Mordecai, they were kind of at the bottom of despair for much of that time, remember? Everything seemed against them until what? Until Esther's faith and courage, until Mordecai and the Jews' time of fasting and prayer, until Esther's bravery as she enters the king's court. Remember? She could have been killed. She could have been executed for an act like that where she's not invited. But because of her bravery, and then after two feasts, remember, she had the feast for Haman and for her husband, the king, and she finally comes out with what's been going on, the plot that Haman had to kill all of the Jews in Persia. And what happens? Haman is executed. Mordecai is exalted, and the Jewish people are basically given a new law where they're able to defend themselves. Because for those who weren't here, basically when you set a law in the Medes and Persian, in Persia, once you set, the king set a law, it couldn't be revoked, no matter what. But they set another law that basically said you can defend themselves. And we looked at that last week, and we saw this amazing turning event, for the history of the Jews. It was a time now where God had saved them. God had brought them through this, and it was a time to celebrate. The past 2 weeks, we've looked at this amazing, what I call a reversal of fortune, right? Doomsday was upon them, but God turned it upside down. And they were delivered. And he brought triumph for his people, all and against those who were trying to destroy them. God, through Esther and through Mordecai, brought a deliverance from the evil plot of Haman and the others who basically wanted to destroy them, wipe them out as a people. It's really pretty familiar to us, isn't it, these days? I mean, we don't have to look back very far to see that happening in our generation even, in our last 100 years with the Germans, right, and other countries that tried to destroy the Jews. And yet God brought victory. God's goodness overshadowed evil. God's providence, his providential hand protected them. And Esther and Mordecai say, you know what, this is time to celebrate. This is time to remember. This is time of joy. And so in honor of the amazing things that have happened, they come and they begin this celebration. It's interesting what they name this celebration, this new holiday. It's an ironic name, if you know what it means. They called it Purim. It was a reminder of God's reversal of fortunes for his people. If you want to look back, you can look back at chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. And we see there that Haman was trying to figure out what day should he destroy all the Jews. And so what he did is kind of, what sometimes they did back then is they go and basically throw a lot, which was basically dice, to kind of figure out, and they'd narrow it down to a particular day. What day should this happen? And that was called a pur. The dice were kind of called a pur. And plural of pur is Purim. And so he decided to cast these lots. But instead of the day being a day of destruction, It turned out to be a day of delivery, didn't it, for the Jews? God turned it upside down, turned it totally around, and the Jews gained victory over their enemies, and ultimately we see over Haman as well. So to honor these remarkable change of events, they say, you know what? We need to remember this. We need to celebrate it. We need to remember God's deliverance and God's goodness to us. And so they called it a Feast of Purim, a remembrance that was to be celebrated every year at the same time. I don't know how many of you have any Jewish friends, or maybe you have a calendar, but does anybody know when Purim was this year? Is it in December? February? March? Nobody knows? It's February 28th and March 1st. Just recently. Interesting, I saw something online of a Jewish actress. I can't remember her name. Famous young gal. And she was talking about Purim. It was of all that their family was doing. And it was a celebration. One person has said this. Somebody just recently said, the celebration of Purim is basically saying, in your face, Haman. This is our God's victory. And that's really what it is. It was a time, and we see in verse 22, from turning from sorrow and mourning to a time of joy and celebration. The Jews were expecting the worst, right? We kind of wallowed in that or walked through that for quite a few weeks of, gosh, this does not look good. On the outside, looks like things are not going to go well for the Jews. Everything seemed lost. The law couldn't be changed. How could things change? But God, as God does, came through. And we see in chapter 9 that despite all the pain and distress and sadness that they initially had, it could not eclipse their joy and their celebration of how God came through for them. It's interesting, as Mel read, maybe you heard a few words that came up over and over. Did you notice the word joy? Joy was mentioned 4 times just in chapter 9. And we see, it's interesting, that in the Feast of Purim, in this festival of Purim, that as they, what they do is they come together and they read the story of Esther. Kind of like we did, only they read it all at once. And when they do it, whenever Esther or Mordecai's name is mentioned, the crowd cheers. Those in the audience cheer. They go, yeah! And then whenever Haman's name is mentioned, they go, boo, yes! And it's this big kind of festival, and it's interactive. It's pretty cool. It was a time of Thanksgiving. And when, it's interesting, whenever they came to celebrate, they remembered, even as many Jews, thousands, millions of Jews, just this last month, February 28th, March 1st, came back and remembered what God has done for them. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the spontaneous celebration that became our first Thanksgiving, okay? If you know the story, the historical story, kind of after the bitterness of winter, the early colony didn't think they were going to make it, but they did. And they saw it as God bringing them through this terrible winter and providing for them. And they held, what they do, they hold a feast, celebrating their survival, giving thanks for his protection, for his provision through the past months. And it was this spontaneous, the first one was kind of spontaneous. And that's kind of what Purim is. The beginning of it was just something spontaneous. Look what God said, we got to celebrate, we got to give thanks. It was a time to remember. God turned them from hardship and sorrow and pain into gratitude and joy. You know, this is something that should be a part of our lives, don't you think? And not just on Thanksgiving. I mean, I love Thanksgiving, one of my favorite holidays. But it should be a part of our life regularly, a part of who we are as believers. Stop and think about, as Christians, should we not be people of joy and celebration for what God has done for us? To stop and think of all what God has done for you, if you've received Christ, if you don't, as we come and celebrate Easter, as we remember why he died on the cross for us, for our sins, so we could have a relationship with God, and he rose from the dead so that we could have eternal life, that should put a smile on our face. You know, whenever, I love baptisms. We had, four or five baptisms back in November. Some of our people, some that are here were baptized. And whenever I look at a baptism, and if you're a believer, you should have, I just remember. It's kind of like when I go to a wedding, I remember my vows. I remember the great day that when I was married. In baptism, I remember that day when God saved me. When I was baptized, it symbolized what God had done for me. We need to remember those kind of things. But you know, I also look back at kind of tougher times in my life. And maybe you do as well. When God, I think about when God has provided for us in so many different ways. I think how God has provided for our family over the years financially, for instance. And a number of literal miracles in our eyes of how God provided financially. And I just give thanks and remember those things. But I also, you know, remember some of the difficult times, just even more recently, and of his strength and peace in difficult times, like the death of my father just a few years ago, and then dealing with my mom's Alzheimer's for a number of years before she passed away. But it's interesting, during that time of sorrow and during that time of mourning, God led me through that. And I found joy. I found encouragement in the Lord. And especially joy as I had, you know, you never wish anything evil or, you know, hurtful like Alzheimer's, right? But, you know, it was through that and through the death of my father that I really, first of all, my mom came to know the Lord, that she put her faith in Christ. And then also, I had a deeper relationship with her than I ever had for those last 2.5 years. We had to spend time, it kind of forced me in some ways to spend time with her, which was good. And I celebrate that. You know, I think one of the great things that we can learn from Esther, as much as we can learn from the previous stuff as we end it here, we remember that, you know what, we can face the future with joy and celebration. I hope many of you are doing that. You know, the enemy of our soul, Satan, and even evil people, even people who are kind of just always negative, they want to taunt us with our past failures, right? Our wrongs, our sins. But we know that God has forgiven us. We know we're not perfect. We know that God has forgiven us. I mean, he'd rather us focus on our calamities, on diseases, on the busyness of life, on all the negative things. And if you watch the news, that's what you're going to hear. And if you watch the news too much or things, you know, you're going to think, man, there's nothing good in this world. But God doesn't want us to grind out our existence in a tunnel of tasks, right? Of simply responsibilities and deadlines. Just you're a human doing. Not a human being, right? No, we are to be children of God. We tend to stress more than rejoice, to focus on the to-do than remembering what God has done and what he will do for our future. Remembering God's goodness, celebrating his goodness. Lucy Swindoll, who actually, if some of you know Chuck Swindoll, famous pastor down in California, but his sister wrote a book. She's a great writer as well. It's called You Bring the Confetti. I'd never heard of this book, but I found this quote. She says this in her book, "Our hurried, stressful lives are unquestionably the most dangerous enemy of celebrating life itself. Somehow we must learn how to achieve momentary slowdowns and request from God a heightened awareness of the conception that life is a happy thing, a festival to be enjoyed rather than a drudgery to be endured. Life is full of perks if we train ourselves to perceive them, if we open our eyes to see the goodness around us." You know, we need to be a little more like the little boy who was in school one day, and he kind of just burst out laughing. His teacher reprimanded him. "What are you laughing about?" And he's like, "I'm sorry, teacher, I was smiling, and it just busted out." It's interesting, as we face the future, once again, as you look at chapter 9, another word that if you're listening was mentioned 4 times is celebration. Celebrate. The Bible's full of celebration if you look through it. Lots of celebration. Yes, hard times, and that's part of life, but a lot of celebration. Think about one of the stories that Jesus told. A number of times he told these stories. One of the most famous ones is the prodigal son, right? The son who basically took his father's inheritance, he blew his father's inheritance, went and rebelled against God and his father, but then he comes back humble. And what does the father do? He says, "You loser." No. He accepts him back. He kisses him. He says, "Throw a party. Get the biggest bull out there and let's throw a party. Let's have a barbecue." And they throw this big party. You know what Jesus says? He says at the end of another story, he said, you know, when one sinner, which is all of us, by the way, okay, me and you, when one sinner comes to repentance, in other words, turns to God, he says, there is more rejoicing in heaven at that time than any other time. He says, as a matter of fact, the angels rejoiced. The angels help throw the party for you. Even though you're not there yet, they're throwing a party for you if you come to Christ. And someday, there will be a party, a celebration. Some of us, many of us are part of our church, but Priscilla, Rick and Priscilla, Priscilla's brother just passed away last night. And they're grieving. And just like we mentioned with Micah, a good friend of ours, young man who passed away. But you know what? They're celebrating. For us who have the hope in Christ, there is, you know, there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow, right? That's what Revelation says. There's no more sorrow when we come in the presence of God. The Bible's full of times of celebrating. Here, right now, we don't have to wait to heaven. It's going to be great there. But we can celebrate here. There's a lot of, the Bible's full of holidays as well. I mean, think about it. Wouldn't life be kind of really boring without some of the holidays that we have? Some celebrations that we have? I mean, just be like, oh, man, okay, go to work again. Do this again. But holidays and celebrations are important. According to God's word and Esther here, holidays and celebrations are important. God desires us to celebrate. And probably like most of you, I don't know. I mean, I love holidays. I love celebrations. Many of them, what are they? They're reminding us of the goodness and the blessings of God. You know, think about the holidays that we have. Many of them show us the truths and the person of God. Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter. You know, those celebrate who God is, what he's done for us. But other holidays, even like Memorial Day or 9/11 or Independence Day, those are important to remember what God has done for us as a people or even as a country. Those holidays, we often think back to them, and sometimes they're hard to remember. I mean, they're tough times, and yet we see how God has brought us through. And we're blessed as a country to have most of our holidays that are based around God's goodness. You know, some people don't like to celebrate holidays or birthdays or anniversaries. And, you know, I've talked to some people, and, well, hey, wait, your birthday's coming up. Yeah, man, another year older, closer to death, blah, blah, blah. What? Oh, yeah, your wedding anniversary's coming up? Yeah. Said my vows 27 years ago, and, yeah, guess I'll keep them. I mean, that's just, some of you might have that attitude. Maybe you don't tell, but I think it's a bad attitude, personally. I mean, I think we are called to remember. Those are milestones to remember God's goodness, right? The blessings that God has given to us. And I'm not ashamed. I mean, I'm coming up here in April. I'm going to turn the big 50, you know? For some people, like, oh, man, that's, I don't want to, don't, you know, that's downhill now, you know? However long the Lord gives me. But, you know, it's worth celebrating, you know? I'm ready to face the future, hopefully with joy and celebration. You know, this last September, we celebrated our anniversary as a church, right? 10 years. We had a big party here in September. And that's worth celebrating. Matter of fact, as a church, most of you don't know, but I'll share some good news. We have something to celebrate as a church. And we have approval for another year through June of 2019. Okay, not 2018. 2019 to meet here as a church again. Yeah, let's give God a hand. Say thank you. You know, we don't take that for granted. And they gave us approval to use the school for our VBS again this summer. You know, God is good. Rejoice. It's worth celebrating. You know, God wants us to face the future with joy and celebration. And I believe that's why God has given many holidays. He said, you know, set this day apart. Remember, take a break and enjoy what I've done, what I'm going to do. That's why Esther and Mordecai called for this annual remembering of and celebration of Purim, right? As I mentioned earlier, Purim is a time where Jews, they get together and they retell the story. And they have this feast. And so it's interesting, something I didn't mention is they dress up in costumes. So they kind of have people act it out. And sometimes all of them dressed up in costumes, their favorite characters. Almost like I was reading one thing, it's like Halloween, only, you know, kind of the positive version. But you're dressed up in costumes. And they read the story, and, you know, when Esther and Mordecai, whenever their names are mentioned, there's a cheering. And then, of course, when Haman's mentioned, it's something else. They have these noisemakers called, I don't know if I'll say it right, but Ra'ashan. And they twirl them, kind of like, you ever seen those twirly things that make these terrible noises, you know, during the parties, New Year's Eve or whatever? So they twirl them, and they boo Haman, you know? And they have this huge feasting, and truth be told, kind of nowadays, unfortunately, like many holidays, it's kind of turned into a time to overindulge and alcohol. Unfortunately, for too many people, rather than we overindulge in things that can be enjoyed, and it kind of ruins things. But, you know, Purim was somewhat like our 4th of July for the Jews. We celebrate our independence, right, as a people. They are celebrating, even today, even in 2018, they celebrate their help as a nation, that they survived, that God is their God, and he is their people. It's crazy. You know, you think about this plot. Stop and think about this as we kind of conclude Esther. This amazing plot to destroy and divide God's people is now a festival which helps unite and sustain them as a people. God turns things upside down on evil, doesn't he? And he'll do it again. And it's a time to celebrate. But you know something else about that God has here for this celebration of Purim and for many of our holidays and many of our celebrations is it's also, we are called to share our blessings. Twice it stated the holiday of Purim was to share with others. Verse 22 was one of those where Mordecai wrote them to observe the days as days of feasting and joy and giving presents of food to one another and gifts to the poor. This should be one of the best things about our holidays. It's one of the blessings, greatest things about our nation, as I believe, and certainly others. But we think about a lot of our holidays. They are times not just to celebrate, but to give, right? To give, to share God's blessings with others. We see this as a part of many of our Christian holidays. Think about Thanksgiving. Yeah, we get together and we celebrate together. But Thanksgiving really is kind of a kickoff to giving to others, isn't it? Salvation Army, I mean, they got it right. They have a great ministry, and there's others, but Salvation Army is a great instrument of the Lord, starting at Thanksgiving and throughout that season of giving to others. Christmas, what's Christmas all about? Giving gifts, right? And not just to ourselves, but also many of you, we give gifts to others who can't maybe afford it, to those who don't have as much, whether it's food or gifts. Even Easter, think, what as a church, you know, we've decided we're going to try to serve. We're going to help others even during Easter, just in a small, insignificant way of handing out free hot chocolate and coffee and balloons to families during an Easter egg hunt. Big deal, right? You know, it is a big deal. We're celebrating. We're sharing God's love with others. As Christians, we're to share the blessings we've received from God. As people, we're to celebrate. Especially to celebrate our amazing God. And so as we come to the end of Esther, it's time to celebrate. We need to remember with the Jews all that God has done. To remember God's providence. Remember we used that big word? I hope you know that word by now. We talked about a lot. His guiding, his directing of our lives and of our church for our good, for his honor, and even for our good. Romans 8:28, he works all things for the good of those who love him. And that's worth remembering. That's worth celebrating. But we also need to face the future. Look ahead with joy and celebration. I mean, think about it. It's not exactly a good witness to always be grumpy, right? To always kind of have a negative attitude. To always kind of be, you know, negative. People are watching. People are watching you, especially if they know you're a Christian. They know you go to church. It's kind of like the little girl who asked her grandmother one day, she was with her, and grandma kind of always seemed down. She goes, how are you feeling, grandma? Are you fine? And her grandma says, yeah, I'm fine. The little girl said, well, if you're fine, then why don't you tell your face, too? Sometimes we literally need to face the future with joy and celebration. We need to be joyful. We have much to be joyful about. And we need to share our blessings, share our joy with others around us, whether it be at a holiday. Certainly, we have great opportunities during Christian holidays to show that, but really just throughout our lives. I mean, it's too easy to be negative. And I got to know, my wife would say, hey, Jim, you're not always the most positive guy around. And it's true. I tend to kind of be the glass half empty person. But you know what? I've been trying to do better. And this message really has challenged me, and I'm trying to make a commitment to have more of a joyful or at least a positive attitude, and certainly the joy of the Lord. And I hope you'll join me. As the Apostle Paul said to the church, he wrote to the church in Philippi, in Philippians 4:14, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Oh, by the way, in case you didn't hear the first time, again, I'm going to say it, rejoice. He obviously knew, you know, sometimes we need a second reminder to remember God's blessings. And so if anyone has reason to rejoice and celebrate, it's those of us who've experienced the goodness, the deliverance, the salvation of Christ. And we have God himself residing within us and in our lives. And as we look back on the message of Esther and look forward to the coming of Easter, it's a time to celebrate. I hope even these next 2 weeks you'll have that in your mind. Celebrate. Rejoice. May we be a people who generously share our blessings and joy with those around us. May our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors, and certainly our family, may they see in us a desire to face our future with joy and celebration. Not just celebrating just life in itself, okay, but our joy and celebration in our awesome God. Amen? That doesn't sound very joyful. Amen? All right, let's pray and have the worship team come up. Father, thank you for this book of Esther. It's been a fun journey. Thank you for your word and just so many things that we can learn. And as we see today that you are such a great God and we can rejoice and celebrate in you and who you are and what you've done for us. So prepare our hearts even for this next week and the next 2 weeks to may that joy shine through us as we remember who you are and how much you love us. In Christ's name.